Just because most of the politics of this era seems to be running well and truly against us does not mean that the situation is hopeless, because situations are never hopeless. Groups that have been done down or perceive that they've been done down by history have undergone worse traumas than we are undergoing at the present time. The danger of the ideology of the victim, which I don't really subscribe to, except as a tactic on occasion, is that you begin to think like a victim and you begin to act like a victim. Many of our people now are almost asking for a whipping, asking for a collective beating, asking to be forgiven for the past, asking to be forgiven for sins and crimes of the past, which they never committed, which they're hardly aware of, which could be reconstrued as episodes of heroic cruelty or glorious vanguardism that don't even need to be apologised for in the past or in the present. All people who have a vanguard and elitist mentality are regarded as partly mad by their own groups, because the majority of people do not want to know. The majority of people wish to live their own life in their own way, and they only look at these broader questions when life impinges upon them and comes upon them, and the hand of life grasps them by the collar, and they really cannot do any other thing but notice what is in front of them. Many of the reasons our people do not seem to have a sense of solidarity amongst themselves in relation to the degree that some of the groups could be said to have is because a significant number of them have never been kicked, have never felt what it is as a group to be disprivileged in a society. Unfortunately, in certain areas of British and continental life now, and North American life, that process for some, and certainly not at the top or at the middle of the society, is beginning. They're beginning to realise what it's like to be a minority, or what it's like to be culturally disprivileged, or what it's like to be dispossessed, in a way. Now, that spirit will grow, but it will only feed into consciousness in a number of select minds, because the bulk of people are not drawn to be in a vanguard formulation. People will only listen to a vanguard when they are desperate. They will only listen to a vanguard when they think there is no other hope. They would love many of the problems of contemporary Britain, many which revolve around the processes of immigration, to be solved. But they would love to have nothing to do with it themselves, and they would love that somebody came forward magically without trouble and without fuss to deal with it on their behalf. They want no unpleasantness, and they want no nastiness, particularly in their own name. But at the same time, if somebody does things of any sort that could be ascribed to that, they would run away and hide initially, be privately pleased, condemn the people who did it, support the people who were against them, and yet at the same time have a secret smirk and smile on their face about the whole thing, and they would do all of that simultaneously. And that's what people are like, and that's what our own people are like up to a point, and that's the funk and the state of internal confusion and bemusement that our people are in. Because every time they turn on the box in the corner, it says everything is marvellous and is all for the best, and that there is no need to worry, and that we're all sleepwalking towards victory. And people are policed now by political correctness, which they adhere to, and which they go along with, and which they profess to love, whilst at the same time hating and despising, looking over their shoulder as they refute it and rebut it in the context of their own life. Because that's what the majority is always like. The majority is confused and inane and believes in the last thing that's ever said to them. Of course, in all societies you have a hierarchy of knowledge and understanding. Probably about 40% of people are quite politically proficient, know what's what, vote to a certain degree, have a cynical regard for the system as it is, at least are compos mentis about the sort of culture and society they're living in. But a good 60% are not. There are many other groups on this planet who always ask a question when anything happens: is it good for us? Is it good for us, or is it bad for the others? But most people think, actually, is it good for us? Far more people, even of a more vanguard or elitist temperament, are prone to say, is it good for us, rather than is it bad for the others? Because contrary to liberals, who always think that positions of identity are based on the idea of doing others down, principles of identity are usually based on boosting or to use an ugly contemporary phrase, bigging up one's own group. People actually think more positively about themselves than they do before they get into negativity about others, contrary to the view that politics of identity is all about negativity towards others. And as long as you can suppress that through political correctness, everyone can live happily in a multi-cult, a multi-identity firmament or melting pot. I think the point to make about vanguardism is whenever anything happens, people in other groups and people in other vanguards and liberal humanists in our own group, because the previous speaker said quite truthfully that it is Indigenous liberals who are our real enemy. Indigenous liberals are always the enemy. Liberalism within ourselves is always the enemy. It exists even in people who regard themselves as radical to a certain extent. But my view is that as long as there is a vanguard to put forward the proposition of an exclusiveness for ourselves, there will always be hope. And that is independent of political parties. Political parties come and go. I believe a new one will be reconfigured in the next 18 months to 2 years on the basis of all the splits and splitting which has gone on at the present time. I believe that a new political party is the way forward, but our own people won't vote for it. Not in sufficient numbers, because they're afraid, and because they're in a funk, and because they would like something to happen, but are frightened of the consequences, and think that even to mention these things isn't nice. Only a vanguard can mention these sorts of issues, because only a vanguard is unafraid to deal with the thought of not being nice. These ideas afflict and paralyse our people to a degree which is quite extraordinary. Most people, particularly teenage boys, have a sort of yearning for vanguardism when they're early in life. And then they forget it as they get older, and it becomes smeared and smudged over by various forms of liberal orthodoxy. They start either not voting, or they vote for one of the prescribed parties, Conservative, and Unionist, Liberal Democrat, Labour. As long as you remain in that area, you're pretty safe in this country, job-wise, career-wise, matrimonially-wise, in terms of reputation, in terms of bourgeois reputation in particular. If you step outside of those boundaries, and it's quite a wide boundary, liberals would say, look, we've given you as wide a space as almost anywhere in the world where you can cavort and make hay and make political pronouncements. Why do you need to go outside that? Why do you need to go out into these extremist and unheralded furrows and sort of support things which are countercultural and anti-system? And the reason that one would choose to do so is because they're not in the interests of the group from which one originates. That's the only reason that one would choose to do so. The only reason for vanguardism is for the elite to protect the mass and seek to bring it forward in history, because the mass can never act for itself.